Okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
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 Sorry, David. I've actually left the minister on the call still, but hopefully it won't spring up in.
No,
good evening, everybody. Sorry for the delay.
You know your priorities, don't you, please?
Right. Shall we make a start? Recording's on. Brilliant. Have you read out the disclaimer?
That's
from David. Oh, yeah. Good evening, everybody. Just letting you know that the meeting would be recorded and the sound recorded subsequently made available via the council's website. Under the Openness of Local Governments Bodies Regulations 2014, other people may film, blog, or record, tweet, or from this meeting, but the use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Okay, item one is apologies.
I have no apologies, Chair.
Cheers, thank you very much. And then we have minutes from the previous meetings which have been circulated. Are members happy for me to sign them as a true and accurate record?
Great.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah. Thank you very much. Item three is disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registrable interests. Does anyone that have anything to declare? If not, we'll move on to item four, which is questions under committee procedures 12.8, and no questions were submitted. Then, which takes us to pay policy statement 2025-26, and then we'll hand over to.
I'm doing the pay policy.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, Anna, to yourself. Thank you.
So, the pay policy statement 25-26 is the points that we're bringing to committee is regarding the changes to the local government pension scheme. The council's been required to update process and changes regarding the requirements of the local government pension scheme that we update our pensions discretions accordingly. And that's in line with their template that they issue to all authorities that use the local government pension scheme. There's no effect on any employees whatsoever regarding the changes we've been asked to carry out. My colleague Sally, who's not here tonight, she's met with the local government pension scheme representative to understand the requirements further to what the council needed to carry out. So essentially, the document has been reviewed in line with the guidance we've been given. There's no significant changes that would impact on anybody. It's literally just changes in legislation that we need to comply with. So we've updated the discretionary policies as required in line with the pension scheme. And it's all just on the advice that we've been, you know, basically instructed that we need to do so that we're meeting the local government pension scheme regulations. Some of the points have been moved out into the pay policy statement, but they just relate to more specific elements around pay as opposed to pension, so it's just been separated more. So that's the element that what we're looking for approval on tonight.
Okay, brilliant. Do members have any questions? Councillor Starr.
Thank you, Leader. It's just interest, really, on the pay and grading structure, page 14. Second paragraph of the pay and grading, so it talks about the Corn Ferry Job Evaluation Scheme. I always thought we did hay.
Yeah, it's been taken over by a company called Corn Ferry.
Oh, right.
It's still exactly
so
the same
exactly
scheme.
The same.
Yeah, it's just changed its name to Corn Ferry because they bought out or gone in partnership with hay, but the name has become Corn Ferry now.
Oh, right, okay. And if I go on a bit further into 15, it says on the same bit, the pay multiple or ratio between highest pay and salary, chief exec scale, the median average salary of the council workforce is 5.6. How does that compare with other people, or is it something that is average, or is it something that we should be concerned about? Or
I don't think we should be concerned about it. It's falling on a sort of a level average, really. Averages between about 4.8 and about 6.9 or something. I don't really know. But it equates to the number of staff we've got and the number of staff on different grades, so comparing them equal comparisons is really quite difficult.
Has that altered much since last year? It'd be interesting to see if we could have a sort of comparison.
5.82, I think it mentions it earlier in the report. 8.3 mentions it slightly. So it's slightly improved than where it was last time. It's on page 10, actually, in the key points.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, thank you, Councillor Snart. Any other further questions, Councillor Snart?
Yeah, thank you. Top of page 16, Golden Hello. No problem with what it says. It just occurs to me that in the sad event of someone who's had a Golden Hello dying before the end of the 3 years, I'm sure we'd be compassionate, but I just think it ought to be written in that should there be a death in service in those times, that there wouldn't be a reclaim of a Golden Hello.
Yeah, that'll go into our recruitment and retention policy because that's where that element's taken from.
All right.
But we can make that amendment. Yeah. Thank you.
Good amendment. Thank you. Any further questions?
Just on that same thing, it says we recoup back the amounts of money that have been paid out on the Golden Hello. If they've left, how do we actually do that? Because it could be a fair bit of money, I guess. If they've left, can we still recoup that back?
Yeah, because it's part of the contract that they will have signed, and obviously people have a notice period, so within that notice period we'd make arrangements to recoup that money.
Right, okay.
Over the number of months left remaining or post their employment, and we do it as a claim back.
Does that happen?
We haven't had the policy in place that long, so I don't think we've actually had anybody that's left yet who's received it. I didn't hear that there was a problem.
Thanks. Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor Hamilton.
And just for a clarification, because on page 23 it says the NGC is effective 1st April 2024. Is that 2024 or is it meant to be 2025?
Sorry, can you just say the first bit again?
It says April 2024 at the top of the page. Is it meant to be April 2025 or is it?
No, that's correct because we're on April 2024 salary scale.
Because the initial thing says this is for people also for 25-26.
Yeah, it's because these pay scales are run until the end of March 2025.
Yes.
That's currently the only pay scale.
Right, okay. This is my clarification, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hampton. Any further questions at all? If not, officers, anything further to add to the report? If not, it's asking us as a recommendation that the personal committee approve the pay policy statement for 2025-26, including the revisions to the LGPS discretionary policies. Are we all in favour?
With the amendment.
Just to clarify that, so not an amendment to this document.
The recruitment and retention policy.
Okay, all in favour? That's unanimous, thank you very much. Okay, the next item six, which is the gender pay gap. We have a report. Mr. Chadwick, if you want to do that, Chandler.
So, just to cover the key points, and I hope everyone is happy with what's been presented within the report. So, the information on the council gender pay gap is based on a snapshot date of the 31st of March 2024, where the information was provided by Payroll. The council employed 510 eligible individuals in that snapshot data, which is made up of 205 male and 305 female employees, which is a marginal increase of 5.29% from the previous year of 483 reportable employees. That equates to, just as a rough figure for everybody, which is roughly 60% female and 40% male. In terms of sort of the mean gender pay gap, the hourly rate calculated for females was £16.37, and for the male it was £18.86, which means that there's a gap of 13.2%. So this basically means that female employees, according to this ratio, 13.2% lower than male employees. This gap did did decrease from the previous year, which was 15.67. And also what we looked at was the annual survey of earnings within the UK, which is published by the Office of National Statistics. And the 2023 data showed that that was nationally at 14.3%, so we're below that figure. In terms of the mean gender pay gap, for females that was 15.38, and for male that was £17.16, which is roughly 10.37% difference. What that means basically is that it's a woman would earn approximately 90p for every pound that a man earns when you compare the median hourly wages. In terms of the key findings that surround those figures, the data that we analysed, which is as of the 31st of March 2024, again showed the repeat of the previous year, which is that the lower middle quartiles, which includes plumbers, electricians, gas fitters, joiners, they receive an enhancement, and based on those enhancements and standby allowances, that then resulted in them their sort of hourly rates falling within the upper quartile. And we also saw some support technicians, which also would have fallen in the lower middle quartile, that fell in the higher end, and these are predominantly male-dominated sort of roles, and that then pushes the earnings for men higher. What we did see, however, which shows an improvement in our figures, is that the town hall employed a large number of town hall assistants. Now again, in terms of their roles, that was more female based in terms of the sort of the uptake in employment within that position. And what we witnessed within that was, even though they would appear in the sort of the lower quartile, based on enhancements of working weekends, on social hours due to performance related sort of roles that they undertake, they sort of moved towards the middle and the upper quartile, which then meant that the gap that was there the previous year did shrink somewhat. Also, I guess, as ongoing work, the council continues to review the recruitment and selection process, and this is an ongoing part of the working group. We also discuss the sort of the various action plans to try and reduce that gap further within the equality working groups.
Cheers, thank you very much, Randall. Members, any questions on the report? Councillor Scott?
Thank you. I noticed that the headcount increase has gone up by 27. Do we know whereabouts the actual extra have gone?
Yes, so the town hall previously recruited quite well. They used to employ quite a lot of casuals. It was felt that instead of having casuals, if they took them on within the town hall assistant roles on a variable hours contract, then that would benefit both the service and the employees. With the casuals, they would not get incremental progression, whereas with this, they get the incremental progression, increased annual leave and everything else. So it's better terms for them as well, and that's where the increase came in.
Now, can I go on?
Yeah.
Now, at 510, we're saying, do we know or do any work on how many contractors we've got as well working for us? I take, for instance, in the planning department, we have a few contractors there. Do we know where they fit in terms of how they fit in the actual scales, and what sort of what we're paying them, in fact, you know, from the scales right the way through? So first off is, what's the sorts of numbers? Do we track that, or do we look at it? Or, and then afterwards, how does that compare where they fit in with the scale?
Sure. If I can take that question. We have got, as you outlined, Councillor Snart, we have got a number of temporary agency staff members. Most of those come to us through Matrix, which is an umbrella organisation which we have procured to access temporary agency staff. We have got some that we refer to as outside of that contract, so where managers have gone directly to a recruitment agency. So we are tracking both of those. What we're also tracking is the roles that they are filling, so a vacant post or whether that's a project piece of work, and also the correlation then between what the salary scale would be for that role and what we're actually paying that individual. Mm. So we are monitoring it quite closely. Scrutiny have asked for a report on temporary agency staff, so we'll be bringing that forward in the beginning. I think it's the 10th of March they've asked for that report.
Okay. I don't want to stray into the scrutiny part of it, but it might be worthwhile if we could, as personnel, have a look at that in terms of just the paper just saying where we are with it, and because it's quite interesting when we're looking at the amount of people we've got and where they fit in terms of contractors or whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
We meet again on the 1st of April, should come in there, and scrutiny meets, if it's going to March, it could be the same paper or similar paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't have a duplication of work.
Yeah,
can just be noted. Then we can question the figures ourselves as well. Yeah. Here in personnel.
Finally, if I could, we're talking on the findings, page 42. We talk about, despite openly advertising positions, this is for female workers in certain areas, the councillors continue to struggle to recruit female employees in these areas. Have we ever thought about actually offering some apprenticeships for female workers in those sort of areas?
Apprenticeships are always open to any roles. I mean, we have had some females. For whatever personal reasons, they've moved on to other roles. But we have had a couple. It isn't that we've never appointed females in those roles. But we are looking at apprenticeships as a whole again next year, moving forward to Kevin Bruin's doing some work on that. So we are sort of looking to increase that pool in a different way to how we have done previously.
I would have thought that was a sort of nice way of getting people involved. I mean, if we're struggling to do that, it seems to me that was a good way of introducing younger people into that trade or whatever.
Yeah. There's a lot of plans to do some different approaches regarding apprenticeships moving forward.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Haines, do you want to come in?
When we're talking about flexible working, do we have any policy relating to job sharing or promoting job sharing as a possible way of encouraging female applicants? They are the people that tend to go for job shares.
Yeah, when we advertise posts, there's always the managers either advertising as part-time or, you know, if people apply, they can ask if it's a job share is considered. Yeah. And we do have a job share policy as well. It's in our,
I think we sort of cover that.
It's in the recruitment policy, yeah. Yeah. So we do have avenues where that's considered, yeah.
And so is that actively put on jobs?
I don't know whether it's actively put on all jobs. I know where it's managers think there's an opportunity, it is, but whether it's always put on, I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah, obviously it's something that does help, so.
Yeah, it's something we can look at.
I do think on a lot of the others, if the manager deems that that they have to take on part-time staff and everything else, and they will say part-time, we're happy to receive applications even for part-time hours, even though the post has been advertised as full-time. I do know also there's been quite a bit of work done on the template for the advert request form, and I did ask my colleague to forward me some of the wording that is used. So you know that what we try and do on all adverts is to say that we prioritise the wellbeing and engagement of all our employees through internal groups such as staff forums, health and wellbeing, and the quality working group to try and promote that. And also we then go on to say that our charter will lead in the strength of diverse and inclusive workforce and recognise and celebrate people's individual strengths and talents. Our commitment to diversity makes our services better, more inclusive and more effective. And then we just have a little snippet also around the disability confident employer. So we try and encourage as much.
Because also if we have permanent members of staff who ask to reduce their hours, then we would obviously advertise it as a job share anyway, because we've already obviously got the current member of staff who's reducing hours, so we do advertise it on that basis as well.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers, Councillor Slitson.
Yeah, offered a slight tangent, possibly. Do we look at whether we might be open to a claim of pay of equal value? Thinking about, I know we don't have refuse collectors, but thinking about the case in Birmingham where, you know, they've left themselves open to a massive pay claim because our group, usually female, cite male roles that they consider to be equal in pay, but the pay is different.
I mean, it's something, obviously, as HR sort of professionals, it's always on our radar, and part of that is always considered as part of job evaluation. You know, we use comparative jobs. You're never going to totally not have that risk, but I think how we evaluate in the roles that John would have, I think, for the counselling, you're pretty confident,
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor. So any further questions? If not, we're asked to note the report. Are we happy to note the report? Cheers, thank you very much. That concludes the meeting. All I have to do is wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I think this is our last formal meeting with the plans one rescheduled now for January.
Very good.
Cheers, thank you. Yeah. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.